wise words. But before we get there, I just wanted to kind of paint a quick picture with you guys real quick. We ended the worship service, or the song portion of that, I should say, saying over and over, "Oh, what a Savior, wonderful Jesus. Oh, what a Savior, wonderful Jesus." I don't know about you, but when I was sitting there in both services, just saying that and repetitive over and over, I know sometimes in church, people send us emails and text messages going, "How can we just repeat things over and over and over in church?" You know, and I don't really have a great answer for you, but here's what I do know. There have been times I've been out of the country on a mission trip and I came home and I saw my kids and my wife. You know what they didn't do? They didn't hug me and say, "Hey, Dad, we missed you. Honey, I missed you." And I was like, "Wonderful." And we grabbed my suitcases off the, you know, the little turn belt thing, whatever it's called. And we go and we grab a bite to eat and we go home. You know what the next hour to 4 hours is filled with? "Dad, I missed you a lot today. You know, I missed you." And we're sitting across dinner and my wife looks at me and she goes, "Honey, I really missed you a lot." And I'm like, "I know you already told me that twice. You don't need to tell me anymore." If I said that, that would not be a smart thing. And sometimes it's nice to reassure or to be reassured of things. And I think sometimes we run through life and things get kind of messy and they kind of get disconnected. And it's nice to be able to come and say, "Wonderful Jesus, what a Savior. Beautiful Jesus, what a Savior." Just to be able to remind ourselves who God is, how wonderful He is. And sometimes we, as kind of fallen people, we need some repetitive reminders. We need some reassurance. We need to kind of say it more than just once. And so, as sitting here and ending the song, you know, some people were like, "All right, we've already sang that three times." I'm thinking, no, three more times. I need to remind myself how wonderful my Savior is. Because sometimes I forget and I get lost and worried and alone. And it's nice to be able to come back and say, "What a wonderful Savior." So that has nothing to do with where we're going, but it's just kind of my heart and where that was, and wanted to share that with you. Like we've done every single message up so far in the wise words, we started out with some of our own wise words and see if how deep the wisdom runs through Boulevardy Baptist Church. And I will say, y'all done pretty good. I have to be honest. I'm one of those guys. I know we're a week past VBS, but all 3 weeks we've done this so far, or the last 2 weeks, this section has really chimed in really well. I'd say wonderful job, okay? This section, I know y'all got it. I know this has the youth section. That's what y'all are saying. Well, they've got the young people. They've got the kids. Maybe. So, but chime in, participate. I'm going to say half this phrase. You're going to say the other half. And it says, actions speak. That's right. They do. Beauty is in the. Yep. That's why people say, "What do you see in him or her?" You know, well, beauty's in the eye of the beholder. Better late. There you go. First things, I helped you on that one. Honesty is? Yeah. Those are all wise phrases and wise sayings that we've grown up hearing, grown up passing on to other people because they are wise words. But as we've talked about so far, we've talked about how wise words and the importance of them in our lives. We discussed that wise people listen and learn. We talked about how they put into practice by not just what they've learned, but by trusting in that. That trusting is not a noun, trusting is a verb. You have to act upon that for it to be able to show. We discussed how having the right mindset of God is the first step in wisdom, but wisdom helps us have the right mindset of God. We talked about how there are kind of two half circles that come together with the word of God in the middle. Without the word of God, we will not be able to have the right mindset of God because the word of God tells us who God is. The word of God also gives us wisdom that helps us have the right mindset. Two half circles that come together with the word of God in the middle. James talks about how if we want wisdom, we should ask for it because God gives sparingly. No, that's not what it says. It says God gives generously when it comes to wisdom. I mean, my goodness, if you're going to want to go to God and get anything, and God says, "Hey, when you ask this, I'll give it more than what you were intending, because that's kind of the God I am." Well, what are we talking about? We're talking about wisdom. Sometimes we're like, probably not. Don't really need that. But it's not the truth. We need wisdom. God says, when you ask for it, I will give generously. But what happens if we don't ask for wisdom? What happens if we go through our lives and we're not looking for wisdom? We're not surrounding ourselves with wise words. And what does that look like? Someone told me a long time ago that knowledge is knowing that tomato is a fruit, but wisdom is knowing not to put it in a fruit salad. And it's true. So how can I recognize if someone that I'm surrounded myself with is putting tomatoes in the fruit salad, or how do I know if myself are putting tomatoes in the fruit salad? I'm going to give a little disclaimer in today's message. It's going to be very negative on the first half. It's going to seem negative. Just bear with me. We'll turn up the positivity at the end, just before I send you home. The other thing, it's going to be really, really easy to listen to this message and think of someone else. I want you to not do that. I'm being very serious. When you hear when Solomon talks about these things, you're going to hear that. You're going to go, you know who should have been here today? Or I know exactly who's that, you know, that's talking about. Don't do it, because here's why. Satan has already got you off on the wrong foot, because he's thinking you need to learn this for someone else. The truth is, we need to learn it for ourselves. So when we sit here today and your mind drifts to someone else outside who you would see in the mirror, I want you to stop, say a quick prayer and say, God, help me get my mind on me, because I need to grow in Christ-likeness for myself. I don't need to just grow. I honestly need to grow in Christ-likeness for other people. But today, God, I want you to teach me something. So as we go through this and your mind starts thinking of other people, stop. Don't do that. Bring it back to yourself and ask God, okay, how does this apply in my life? So Proverbs chapter 9, 7 through 12 is where we're going to be today. Proverbs chapter 9, 7 through 12. Solomon writes, whoever corrects a scoffer gets himself abuse, and he who reproves a wicked man incurs injury. Do not reprove a scoffer, or he will hate you. Reprove a wise man, and he will love you. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will still, or will be wiser still. Teach a righteous man, and he will increase in learning. The fear of the Lord is at the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is insight. For by me your days will be multiplied, and your years will be added to your life. If you are wise, you are wise for yourself. If you scoff, you alone will bear it. So what is a scoffer? My definition of scoffer is, a scoffer is someone who does not listen to wise words and yet then adds commentary. Someone who comes, you go to someone and says, hey, by the way, this is, you know, you should look at doing this, or maybe you should change doing this, or maybe you should be aware of that. And they not only reject the wise words, they mock it. They add commentary to it. Oh yeah, because you know, I'm the worst person ever. Or, you know, I get it, you know, I should do that because I'm such a failure. Or you're right, because you're never wrong. And we've heard those things before, and you're probably already thinking about, oh yeah, so-and-so. Don't. Stop. Scoffers are not just people who don't take instruction, but instead they take instruction and belittle the instruction and the instruction giver. At one time or another, we have all witnessed something like this. And if we were really honest with ourselves today, it was us. There have been times people sat in front of us with good, loving intentions, and we have turned them away as if they had no clue what was going on. Well, there have been people who have come to us out of love, out of concern, and we have broken fellowship with that person because how dare they? That is the definition of a scoffer. Now, the aim is to look into the scriptures and find three identifications of a scoffer. Now, the reason why we're doing that is for two reasons. One, so we can recognize who's putting tomatoes in the fruit salad. We can be aware of what that person is. The other thing is to also, most importantly, to look at ourselves in the mirror and go, this is something that I need to change, and this is a weak area in my life, and I need to surrender this over to God. Is it scary? Yes. But guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to trust in the Lord with all my heart and lean not on my own understanding of what I think the results will be, but do exactly what God's word says I need to do. Because I don't want to be someone in the relationship of my friends and my church be putting tomatoes in the fruit salad. So the first thing is this. Scoffers misuse friendships or authority. Now, when you hear the word misuse, you probably think of like manipulate. Like they manipulate their friends or they manipulate the authority. That's not the context of what I use the word misuse. I'm simply saying that they're not using them correctly. You have friends and their authorities in your life that are there for a reason. And scoffers don't use them the way they're supposed to. They don't use them appropriately. They don't use them as a sounding board, as a source of wisdom, as someone who can help see your blind spots. That's what I think best friends really are the greatest for, is they are like those side mirrors on your car. Because they see things that you don't necessarily see going in life, and your best friends come alongside of you and say, hey, just so you know, you need to be aware of this. They can see your blind spots a little better than you can. But a scoffer says, ha, you don't know anything, you're just a mirror. Well, I can see things you're not seeing. That's what a scoffer does. And what they do is they misuse friendships or authority. Scoffers have the unique ability to take an instruction or correction, and then at the end of the conversation, the one trying to help is actually the bad person. Look at what this says in verse 7. Whoever corrects a scoffer gets himself abuse. If you walk up to a scoffer and say, hey, by the way, and you fill in the blank, by the word of God, you will incur abuse. I was just trying to do this the right thing. People come to you and say, well, maybe your approach was too forward, or maybe your approach was not forward enough, or maybe you should have brought a friend with you, or maybe you should have led with an illustration of your own life. The truth is that they're a scoffer, despite what you come to them or how you come to them, you're going to incur abuse. Why? How do you know that? It's God's word says it right here. So it may not be your approach. It may not be you at all. It could be that person. It says, if you correct a scoffer, that person incurs abuse. We've all been there to sit down with that friend, and the topic of marriage kind of comes up, and we see this as an opportunity that we've been praying for, that God opens the door to kind of talk about some blind spots, as I mentioned earlier. Before you know it, you're the bad guy. You're out to drive a wedge between you and this relationship, and you come out of the meeting bewildered of going, what just happened here? There have been times that people have come to you. There have been people have come to me to bring up a blind spot in my life. And I turned on them. Because I was a scoffer. Because someone tried to correct me and I gave them abuse instead. Remember, we're not thinking of anyone else but ourselves today. The New Living Translation says this: anyone who rebukes a mocker will get insult in return. The transaction between correction and a scoffer is insult or abuse or injury. The second thing, in verse 7, he says, anyone who corrects a scoffer gets abuse, but he who reproves a wicked man incurs injury. The second thing is that scoffers, they hurt others. They hurt others. Sometimes we get hurt while trying to help others, and sometimes we have been hurting other people who are trying to help us. Ever been on that phone conversation and looked at someone and said, back off, I've got it. There are times that we have been mockers or scoffers ourselves. At the end of the passage last week we read, it says, do not despise the Lord's discipline or be weary of his reproof. The Lord reproves him who he loves, or the Lord disciplines those whom he loves. Discipline should be done out of love. Because this is how the Lord disciplines us. He does not discipline us out of frustration. He does not discipline us out of embarrassment for what we are, the name we're carrying, or bitterness. And we should correct out of love, just as the Father does. But just know that when we go to correct a scoffer, that we might get hurt ourselves. Does that mean we just stay away from them? No. But it helps us understand a little bit more how to pray for that person. If they didn't receive wise counsel when you gave it to them, that says more about them than it does you in that moment. And so that's how you can pray for that person. The third, final identifier in a scoffer is animosity surrounds them. You know you are dealing with, or you are a scoffer yourself, when hatred follows very closely in your relationships. You ever had a conversation with someone, or someone had a conversation with you, and they began to talk about things, and up came a name, and you just went all rage monster on them kind of thing. Someone's like, blah, blah, blah. Oh, have you seen Tim? Tim, oh, I'll tell you what, if I see Tim, I'm going to not just give him a piece of my mind, I'm going to give him the whole thing. And we just go off, and they're like, and this person's going, whoa, what just happened here? That's an identifier that we might be a scoffer because there's hatred in our life. Look at verse 8. Do not reprove or scoff, or he will hate you. I had a friend that was a pastor of a church, and he was looking to be his fourth church in 8 years, and walked through with him some of these times, was praying with him, and he called me, and, you know, a while back and said, hey, Paul, do you know of any churches in the San Antonio area looking for a pastor? I mean, this church isn't just following my leadership, and I got to get out of here. I said, okay. We talked, and I said, I don't really know of anything right now, and you know, but I'll be praying for you. And he's like, I said, well, what's the reason? And he told me, he's like, this is the third church since I've left such and such place that doesn't follow my leadership. And honestly, that church wouldn't follow it either. And I just looked at him, I said, through the phone, looked at him kind of thing, and just said, do you realize that if you've had the same problem in every church you've been at, and you're on a 2-year cycle, do you realize that it may not be the churches? Now, scoffer would have looked at me and said, you're ridiculous. Let me tell you about these churches and blah, blah, blah. And then I would have been the bad guy. This person, being a pastor, loves Jesus, took a step back and went, you know, the second person that said that to me, he's still at that church today. It's been 4 years at that church, and things are still going well at that church. I was glad to know he stuck it out and looked at himself in the mirror and go, you know what? Maybe there's some things in my life I need to change. Because if not, a scoffer will end up hating those people. And every time someone brings up an idea of change, hatred follows closely. If we find ourselves in the midst of chaos, of relationships consistently, our relationships are in disorder, we need to stop. Close our mouths, open up our hearts, receive instruction, guidance, and even rebuke from the Holy Spirit or close brothers and sisters in Christ. There is nothing Satan loves to do more than cause division within the body of Christ. And scoffers are usually right in the midst of it, which is why important that we identify these things, because there's so much more at stake here than just knowing what a scoffer is and knowing what a wise person is. The kingdom of God is at stake here. Our mission statement is to lead people to faith in Christ and growth in Christ's likeness. If I can't get closer to Christ, if I'm not growing with Christ, then I have no idea to lead anyone else in that process either. And the kingdom of God is at stake here. It is a bigger deal than just realizing there's some character flaws when we look in the mirror. It's about the kingdom of God. And that, you know, this is a thing I need to work on, because people continue to say that and I'm pushing it back because they just don't know, or that's not how I was raised, or whatever the course may be. And we look into the scriptures and we look in there and the Holy Spirit speaks to us and guides us, and we go, you know what, I'm going to trust you. Even though that wasn't the way I was raised, even though that wasn't my background, even though that doesn't make sense, this is what the Word of God says. And so therefore, I'm going to trust you and change, because the kingdom of God is at stake here. There is someone who is waiting for you to grow in your walk with God so that they can come alongside and be discipled by you. Now, you say, okay, Paul, those scoffer things, I'm feeling kind of guilty. I see a lot of those things in my life. Come on, where's the hope? Where's the happiness? Turn it up a little bit. Gotcha. How do we determine if someone's wise? We talk about three identifiers for a scoffer. There's really one main way to discover if someone's wise. Verse 9, give instruction to a wise man and he will be wiser. Teach a righteous man and he will increase in learning. Notice it did not say that they will agree with you, jump up for joy and excitement, because no one likes to be corrected. But the third thing is they grow. They grow. No one's ever come to me and sat in my office and said, Paul, I just want you to know, you may need to look at this. And I went, you're so right. And kind of did a little jig and dance. And I was like, Stan, let's spin and dance. Let's sing a song. No one on staff has ever come in my office and said, Paul, I just want you to know, I think that was a little harsh. And staff meeting, I feel like you're being a little this or whatever. Hey, by the way. And no, I've never said, you know what? Absolutely. Let's write a song about it. Let's make friendship bracelets and let's wear them and never take them off. But you know what has happened some of those times? Not every time, because I'm not perfect. I've grown. Taking a step back, taking a deep breath, kind of worked through my disappointment, my pride, my frustration. And I search the scriptures and I search my heart and I go, God, if there's anything in my life that doesn't line up with you, show it to me. And the Holy Spirit's confirmed a lot of things in my life. And I've been able to go back to those people and say, I want you to know that I know when you told me that, I seemed angry. Well, I was. But you're right. And I want to say thank you. And I always said it in those ways. But that's how you determine if someone's being a scoffer or a wise person, because they can come back through the guidance of scriptures and the Holy Spirit, and they can grow. It's not easy. It's not fun. No one likes to hear those words. But I listened to a leadership podcast. Craig Groeschel says this, often the areas that I reject are the areas I need to grow in the most. If your wife, or your husband, or your kids, whatever, told you something probably 4 or 5 times, there's a really good chance that might be an area to grow in. And if it comes to our family, our church family, would we like to hate people? Would we want to incur injury or abuse to what we call the body of Christ? Or do we take a step back like a wise person to give instruction to a wise man? He will be wiser. Teach a righteous man, he will increase in his learning. They grow. You say, well, Paul, how do I know if I'm a scoffer or I'm growing? How do I know that? Just draw a line in your life right now. Today's June 23rd, 2019. Draw a line. Go back 5 years from now. Draw another line. What's the difference between the two? Have you seen growth in your walk with Christ? Growth in your maturity in Christ? Your maturity with other people? Are the things 5 years ago that we kind of were frustrated and mad and angry about? We're still frustrated, mad, and angry about. The things we still don't like about the church, there's the same things we still don't like about the church. Same things we didn't like about that person or ourselves, the same thing we don't like about ourselves or that person. If there's been growth, I put you in the category of being wise. If there's not, I would put you in the category of being a scoffer or a mocker. You got to realize there's something greater at stake here than your just personal journey. There are people watching your journey. Moms, dads, your kids are watching you. They've watched you from the time they were able to watch you. And they're looking at you going, is there growth? They're demanding so much more from me than they're putting in for themselves. And I'm getting, when I see that happen, guess what I learned to do? Learn to play the game just like they did. If you can't say amen, you can say ouch, it's fine. But when we don't model discipleship in our families, our kids will learn to play the same game that we played, which is show up, put a smile, everything's happy, but life is treacherous Monday through Saturday. Are we growing in the scriptures? Are we learning things? Do we have our nose buried into the text? Do we talk about Jesus to other people? Because when God gives us instruction, do we just hurl back insults going, well, where were you last week, God, when I needed you? That would be a scoffer. That would be a mocker. Or do we look at that instruction, that rebuke, and that correction from the Holy Spirit, and we go, ah, that hurts so bad. But God, I know you are telling me this right now because you love me so much that you don't want me to stay where I'm at. I said earlier that our mission was to lead people to faith in Christ and growth in Christ-likeness. My question is where are we measuring up on that? Do we hear that and go, well, I'm not an evangelist, so I don't need to lead people to the Lord? Well, I mean, I've gone 15 years without sharing my faith. What's another 15 years? We scoff at that. I'm not sitting down with anyone intentionally over the last 10 years where someone said, hey, will you teach me how to do this? So what's another 10 years without having someone else grow in Christ-likeness? The truth is, there is more at stake than your personal journey. The kingdom of God is at stake. And there are people who are watching you and listening to you. People that you don't even think have any business watching or listening to you, or watching and listening. And they're on a fact-finding mission, and we're on a mission to give information out. And Solomon says, hey, when you reprove a scoffer, he'll hate you. But if you reprove a wise man, he will increase in his learning. Okay, if that's information for me to know about someone else, that's great. But what about when people are coming to me? Am I increasing in my learning? Or am I hating the body of Christ because they're trying to equip me and grow me? I don't know that answer for you. I know it for myself. And some weeks I'm killing it. Some weeks it's killing me. But I'm so glad that I have a wonderful Savior who is beautiful and loves me more than I deserve. And he is good in everything he does. He is good in everything he says. Everything can come from him. Even his reproof, his discipline, his correction, his right hand of fellowship in our lives, if need to be, is out of good. As a matter of fact, the praise team is going to come and sing a song as we end this time of worship, a time of singing, declare God's goodness. So let's go ahead and stand on our feet. Let me pray for us as the praise team comes up. God, thank you so much that we trust that you are good in every way. And it sometimes feels like that's not the case. People are breathing down our neck. We've got people upset with us. We feel like you're mad at us. God, let us look in the mirror and see what is in our life that doesn't line up with you. And let us be wise about that. And take that instruction and change. And God, we know it's going to be scary. And we know it's going to be hard. But we know the kingdom of God is at stake here. In our personal growth, there is someone who is depending and needing me to grow so I can show them how to grow. And there's someone who needs to grow so I can see what that looks like for my own self. God, let us see that being a wise person and understanding what your words say and how they apply to our lives is so much greater than the other trinket phrase we could grow up saying and repeating, that your words are wiser than anything. Thank you, God, for being a good, good, and wonderful God. Amen.